Let's stand and sing, Our God, He is Life. Do mi so. There is.
Good evening. Just a forewarning, the scripture reading tonight is going to come from three different books of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, John chapter 1, and Colossians chapter 1. So if you'd like to prepare yourself to switch between books a little bit, that's fine, but I'm going to be moving through them relatively quickly. So if you just want to listen, that's okay too. I'll be beginning in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Moving on to John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And lastly, I'll be reading from Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent.
Amen. Well, good evening, church. It's wonderful that we can be together this evening, the last Sunday night of the month. This year, we have dedicated to having a sermon and song and spending a little time reflecting on some of the scriptures and some of the lessons that we had studied all month long. But tonight, it is actually the last evening for our annual theme. 2016-2017 was In the Beginning God. And so I guess we need to review 52 sermons, and that'll be plenty of songs. No, we won't do that. But you are in fine voice tonight, and that is for the glory of God. And I'm glad that we can be together and sing some songs of praise and to reflect a little bit on what has been a very enriching and challenging study in 2016, 2017, in the beginning, God. It's been wonderful to reflect a little bit on some of these lessons, try to pick some good songs that went along with major ideas throughout the year. But the idea was this: we want to put God first in everything. That's what disciples want, followers of Jesus Christ. God is to be first. But how do you do that? And what does that look like? And why do you do that? And if you've been failing at it, why would you try again? And so we started by talking about creation. Why we believe that this is our Father's world. In the beginning was God. And the skeptics and old earth evolutionists, they have not demonstrated anything that should shake our faith that God is the maker of it all. God is the maker of us all. And we move from lessons along those from those fundamental foundational issues of creation and God in the beginning to think about God and how He is first in our identity. Truly the beginning of our identity. We had a little study on some of the names of God revealed in Scripture. We find our identity in God. And to know Him, we considered several of the names revealed throughout the Bible. Don't you want to know the name of God? Moses did. In Exodus chapter 3, in verses 13 through 15, when he encounters this bush, it is on fire and yet it is not consumed. And he begins to have a conversation with this. It is God speaking to Moses, revealing Himself to Moses, giving Moses a mission to go tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And how does Moses respond? In Exodus 3, verse 13, "Then Moses said to God, 'Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is His name? What shall I say to them?' And God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you.' Moreover, God said to Moses, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations.'" He is Yahweh. And yet, as the Bible story unfolds and we explore Revelation, we learn several names given. He is holy. That's His name. His name is Banner, and He is our banner. His name is Provider. His name is Healer. What a blessing to be a child of God Almighty, because He is with us. We are His people, His children. He is our God and our Father. This is our identity. We studied together Scriptures talking about unity. In the beginning of our unity. And we spoke to learn about the unity which is in God. Lessons about the Godhead. Trinity, if I can use that phrase. We spoke about God the Father and learned Bible teaching about that. God the Son. God the Holy Spirit. And we focused on the prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17 and verses 20 and 21. How Christ prayed for all disciples that we should attain to the unity which God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit share. In John chapter 17 and verse 20, hear the Lord's Prayer. "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me." And what a testament it would be to the world if the followers of Christ were truly united, truly one. Do you ever wonder sometimes why more people in a community aren't Christians? Well, we may not have to scratch our head too hard. Look at what the Lord prayed for. There is a lack of unity. It is understandable. And yet when people get together on the word of Christ alone, there is unity, just as there was in the beginning. It is not godly that there is division. It is not desirable, but we can be one. He prayed that we would be one. In the beginning of our unity is God, and in the beginning of our faith is God. we began to learn about the primacy and the sufficiency of Scripture. We emphasize Scripture because in Romans 10 and verse 17, we're taught that faith comes from hearing, or by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, the Word of Christ. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we see the sufficiency of Scripture for what we need to be good workmen in God's service. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We saw reasons why we can trust the Scripture. Good attitudes and habits about studying the Scripture. And we don't learn Scripture just for the sake of knowledge, but to be changed by it. It is the beginning of our faith. And so we're going to sing together now. Brother Tim's going to come and lead us in Name Above All Names, and we will reflect upon our identity in God. We're going to sing Glorify Thy Name, and we shall reflect upon our unity in God. And we're going to sing the Law of the Lord. And remember that the beginning of our faith is God and the Word of God. Brother Tim? January had us focusing on the beginning of our walk, God. We are disciples. We are followers of Jesus Christ. That's what disciple means. It means follower, student, or apprentice of Jesus Christ. And so we were talking all month about discipleship, and that gave us a wonderful time to remind and explore the Livingston circle of discipleship. What is a disciple? A disciple honors God, learns from God, loves like God, and leads others to God, all while abiding in God's Word. It's so important. This is the DNA, our process of what we're doing here, leading people to Jesus Christ and making disciples. And Lord willing, next Sunday morning, we'll be talking about the next year's theme, 2017 and 2018, talking about disciple-making disciples. And I'm very, very excited about that. But we spent a month focusing on our discipleship. In February, we began to talk about God and the beginning of our relationships. And moving from a circle of discipleship and thinking about how we individually are becoming more like Christ, we began to branch out a little bit. Consider the circle of our influence, the people that we know, the people that we care about. We thought about how we treated others and the example that we set, how important it is. In the book of Romans in the 13th chapter, Romans chapter 13 and verse number 8. Owe no one to anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. In verse 10, love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. We need to love one another. We need to love our neighbors. God teaches us about love. He is at the beginning of all our relationships. When we think about this circle of influence and people we know here, there, and yonder, it led us quite naturally to think about the church family, the family of God. And we had some lessons about the beginning of our congregation. We thought very particularly about how God is first and head of His church, and of this church, particularly here at Livingston. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15, we find that the Apostle Paul was moved to write to the young preacher Timothy, write to him as he worked with the church at Ephesus, and these words in verse 15, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. Some of your versions say the household of God, which is the church of God, the pillar and the ground of truth. The pillar and the ground of truth. The church is God's family. This congregation is God's family. We are living under God's roof, in His house. And so we began to learn how God makes the rules in His house. And what makes Livingston Church different? Well, we follow the New Testament pattern. This church is about being faithful to God Almighty, His authority expressed in the New Testament. And we believe that when you plant the Word of God, you're going to get Christians. It's the seed principle taught in Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, as teaching is about the parable of the sower. The seed is the Word of God. We can always go back to the New Testament and trust that if we teach what they taught and do what they did, we will get what they got, which are Christians, and a church vibrant, led by God, where truly God is in the beginning of the congregation. It's so important that we love one another. And in the church family, God would have us to love like brothers and to be our brother's keeper in the congregation. And when we assemble as a church, we worship God. He is at the beginning of worship. We spent a month thinking about the holiness of God and how He alone is worthy of worship. In Leviticus chapter 10, we are taught in a bold example of the holiness of God. And it must be borne in mind of those that would approach Him in worship. In Leviticus 10 verses 1 through 3, we find an episode where two priests failed to recognize the holiness of God and to approach Him and worship Him in a way pleasing and acceptable to Him. The scripture says, now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which He had not commanded them. And so fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. And so Aaron held his peace. We're not burning incense here. That's not part of New Covenant worship. But Nadab and Abihu, we need to learn from this example that God is holy. He shall be glorified, and we regard him that way. We did spend some time studying particular aspects of our corporate worship, like the Lord's Supper and our song worship. God is first. He is in the beginning of our worship. We're going to sing, Lord, Send Me Now, and we're going to reflect on how God is at the beginning of our walk and discipleship. We're going to sing, Love One Another, and appreciate how important it is to make God first in all of our relationships. That song might be better known as Angry Words. We're going to sing, The Church is One Foundation. God is at the beginning of our congregation. And we're going to sing Hosanna, because God is worthy of worship. God and God alone. Brother Tim, come lead us.
In this song and another, we will be singing the verses before the chorus. So pay attention up here. So Christoso.
Beginning of our family. May was a month to focus on the blessing of our homes. And God's word is so practical to encourage families, husbands and wives, parents and children. The home is the genius of God. And so if we'll go back to his word and go back to the scriptures, make him first. Truly the blessing of home can be known and shared by all. In every phase of life, there is a God-given role and a responsibility in your home. We explored several. But if you would, notice with me in your Bible, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Leading into it is this paragraph of Paul's teaching about Christ and the church, but he's instructing about husbands and wives. And Ephesians 5 verse 33 says, "Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. It was a wonderful time to take God's word home and understand He is at the beginning of our family. From this, we thought about many other relationships, how God is at the beginning of our jobs, the beginning of our work. And I believe that Christians should be the best workers, the most industrious people. In Ephesians chapter 6, as we continue reading and notice verses 5 through 9, it's because we see that disciples are serving the Lord. And regardless of if you have a boss or if you're your own boss, you're serving the Lord. Think about these instructions to masters and slaves, and we make application to our own situations and working environments. In Ephesians 6 and verse 5, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you, masters, do the same things to them. Giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. We serve the Lord, no matter who's signing the checks. And we thought about God first in our jobs. We're going to sing together now, Where Love Is in the Home. And we pray that God is at the head of all of our homes. And then we're going to sing, I Want to Be a Worker, and demonstrating that we are serving Christ in all of our walk and vocation in life. Brother Tim.
So. Let's stand and sing, I Want to Be a Worker for the Lord. This is a march, so let's keep it up. Do so.
Well, this summer, we spent some time thinking about the beginning of our hope is God. And hope is not about a wish. It is a confident expectation. And we spent some time thinking about the wonderful promises, powerful and precious promises that God has made us. And we believe, we expect to receive them as his people because of who our God is. In fact, in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, we are in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. We thought about his promise to make a way of escape in the time of temptation. We thought about his promise that the Lord will return. There are some things that we have yet to receive by his hand, but we walk by faith knowing we shall receive them because of who God is. His promise and his word is the beginning of our hope. And then this month, we have thought about the beginning of our victory and how by God and by the power of his gospel, we might know victory over temptation, victory over sin, victory over death, even victory over hell. And in 1 John chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, we are encouraged again to keep faith. Faith is the victory. In 1 John 5 and verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? It's not faith in faith. It's not faith in ourselves because we're so great, but it is faith in Christ, faith in God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who does not fail. And we trust in victory because he has won the victory and demonstrated it in his own resurrection from the grave. We are going to sing together now, Standing on the Promises, and remember that our hope rests on the promises of God, and then we'll sing Faith is the Victory. Because our faith is in God, where all victory begins. Brother Tim?
So.
Standing on the promises of Christ I lean, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, standing on the promises, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing on the promises, standing on the
So.
Thank you.
We're going to sing an invitation song, one last song together in just a moment. And I appreciate so much everyone being out tonight and singing out tonight these praises to God. As I hope it has been an encouragement to you, as it has been for me, to think about this theme, perhaps one last time for a while, in the beginning, God. And I know that we want God to be first and preeminent in our lives. I believe that about each one of us. And yet at the same time, I know in myself, and maybe you feel it too, I wonder why we get away from that. I wonder why we need these constant reminders, you know, to put him back first. Why is it so easy to forget that God is first and I am second? I think we get that flip-flopped. And all of a sudden I'm first and God's second, or heaven forbid, he's even further down the list of our priorities and our concern than second. Well, I was reading a very encouraging psalm, Psalm 103. And I'd like to share a couple of verses from it with you by way of this invitation. But in Psalm 103 and verse 11, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. And his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments, to do them." This has been a real quick reminder of things that we studied with some detail over the course of a year. And what I'd hate for anyone to do is by the end of this service say, "Boy, there's just an awful lot to putting God first. I'm not sure I'm up to this at all. I'm kind of lousy at it, really." No, no. What this passage reminds me is that I need to think about this day and this moment. Let's put God first right now. And whether it's about an issue at work or a deal at home or something with the brethren, I just want to put God first in this, don't you? And he knows me, and he knows my frame, and he knows the situation, and he's merciful. He's merciful to the people that fear him. He's merciful to the people that know his covenant and do his covenant and who are his people. And so I may not think about all that is involved with this for the rest of my life and say, "I don't know if I want to do this." I want to think about today. He's given me today. I'm his child today. I want to put God first, in the beginning God, for today. Have you put God first in your life? Have you given it all to him by becoming a Christian, humbling yourself before him and confessing that he is Lord, repenting of sin in your life and being baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins? Have you done that? To be a part of his covenant? To take hold of his mercy? His grace and his goodness. You can do that tonight. You put God first. He's in the beginning of your life when you become a Christian. And maybe you've done that. As you've reflected on some of the messages in these songs or the scriptures we've read, you're convicted God's not first right now. He's second. He's a little bit lower. He's merciful. And you have this moment now to repent, to be restored, to put him first. And we'd love to encourage you and help you with any spiritual need to do that. And so if we can baptize you into Christ at this time, and pray for your repentance and restoration, to lift up a brother or sister in Christ before the Lord in prayer, we want to do that. To help with any spiritual need that you have, that you might leave here tonight with the confidence, with the conviction, God is first in my life. In the beginning, God. And so whatever that spiritual need is, we invite you to come forward and make it known now. Together we stand and sing. Won't you come?